Overcoming life. Life hits hard, yet faith stands strong. Life hits hard, yet faith stands strong. With Allah beside us, we move along. Overcoming life.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Raheem. As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah.
As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabiyallah.
As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabiyallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
Abdul Hanan bhai, often we have one failure which is manageable, but then when you have repeated failure, it breaks hope. What do you have to say about that?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It's a very important topic, actually. A lot of people are involved in this today in our society. Everyone seems to think that nothing's going right for me. And this is making a person weak. You know, like one problem happens and then you get another problem happens. Or you try one thing and it didn't work out right. Then you try something else, it didn't work out right. You know, people are investing money. They lost out here, they lost out there, they lost out here. So it's just a continuously ongoing. Sometimes it happens in marriage. You know, marriage in one place didn't work out, second place didn't work out, third place didn't work out. And, you know, a person becomes weak because of this. Or he starts to think, nothing's going right for me. But what we got to learn is that when we feel that things are not going right and we are going through this struggle or we're going through this hardship, things are not working, going our way, and just one has to learn the fact that this is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? If you look at the lives of the Anbiya alayhim as-salam, the lives of the Sahaba, the Awliya, and if you reflect over their lives, you'll find this happening again and again. Things will happen which will be so hard for them. One hardship and then another hardship, then another hardship, then another. And it will continue. And this was their lives. You know, if you look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam from childhood, right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he lost his father, right? Then he lost his mother. And this is happening in childhood. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's uncle is looking after him. Then he loses his grandfather is looking after him. Then he loses his grandfather. Then his uncle. Then like this. You know, all these things are happening in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who? He's the chosen one. He is the greatest of all beings. He's the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is going through all these different things in life which are happening. Then the suffering of the time of the inviting people towards Islam. The waqia from Makkah to Al-Mukarramah, how when the Prophet ﷺ started to preach Islam, how the people treated Rasulullah ﷺ. And then the Prophet ﷺ went to Taif, and then what happened in Taif, right? That was another challenge on top. So, you know, one place all this is happening, and the Rasulullah ﷺ moves to another place to invite other people towards Islam, and how they react. And, you know, this ongoing things which are happening in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And, you know, this was with the Anbiya alayhi salam. Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, 950 years, invited the people towards Islam. What was the reaction of the people? How did the people, react to that? A lot of them refused. A lot of them just let. And the people continued. And at times to time with the Prophet alayhi salam, there would be times where people would accept them and then they would refuse. They'll turn away again. And then the prophets, they would invite them again and they'll come back to the deen and then they will move away again. So how many times this has happened to the prophets alayhi wasalam, the anbiya alayhi wasalam? So we should learn from this that these are as a form of test, and Allah only tests those, only puts a person through these difficulties, the one who He loves. Right? The loved people who are loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if something is not going right for you, don't think this is a loss. Or you are in this state, but know that Allah is with you. Allah is testing you. Allah is seeing what is my servant, what he's going to do after I've tested him in this way. I mean, you mentioned this in our previous episode as well.
You know, but it's often the thing is that we only look at ourselves. We just think, oh, this is going wrong with me. So much is going wrong with me. But we forget to look at other people as well. And I was thinking about this on my way here in the train. It was pretty cold and I saw people with gloves. But then it made me think, what about those countries where people don't have gloves, where they don't have clothes, where they don't have food? And we have so much, alhamdulillah, but yet we complain so much and we don't thank Allah that often.
Exactly what I was going to go on to.
And it was just making me think.
Observing in some of these countries which have traveled to parts of Africa, other parts of the world, where people are living in poverty. People are really hand to mouth, right? They don't have food for the next day. They don't have, even to the extent, I remember I was in one place in Africa, where the state where the people were living in tin houses.
Mm.
They didn't have a door in front of it. They didn't have stock of stuff in their homes. They were empty, but they were still smiling. They were still playing. The children were still running around, even that they, how little they had. And this is tin houses. Then you have people living in clay houses. And you have people, people are living in all sorts of state throughout the world regarding food, what people are getting. So when we are thinking, oh, nothing seems to go right for me, just be grateful on the aspect that Allah has given us so much. Okay, this didn't work out, doesn't matter. We'll try something else, that doesn't work out, nothing. And this continuous struggle, this is what dunya is. We forget, dunya is not Jannah, right? Dunya is not paradise. Dunya is not a place where you'll have everything. Everything will go your way. That's dunya. Otherwise, we won't be in dunya, we'll be in paradise, right? So one's got to keep this in mind that it's full of struggles, it's full of tests, it's full of trials, it's full of failures. And inshallah, after these failures, you will find ease. And they say in English, there's light on the other side of the tunnel, right? So you might go through a difficulty, but how long for? It might last a few years. Eventually, you will get out of it. Eventually, we will get through it. And inshallah, if Allah wills, if we have patience, we will earn ajr from this. We will earn great amount of reward from this as well.
Do you think actually understanding the fact that if it's in our life, then Allah Almighty knows that we can carry this hardship that we're going through? Because doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran that He does not burden a soul more than it can bear? So do you think actually understanding that would help a person feel better in this way as well?
Yes, without doubt. We are given that much which we can bear. A person is never given, just think of what your hardship is. I know in life, gone through a number of things. And it's always the case that they were bearable, right? No matter how the difficulty was and how we felt at the time, but it was bearable. It wasn't beyond our ability. And, the more a person has a strength, the more ability he has, he's put through that much trials. And the less he has, Allah only tests him with light things. I see sometimes, I've seen people who are very weak or very, they're not strength, they don't have the power. And you see their trials are sometimes a bit different to someone with a big body, someone with a lot of strength, someone with a big backing. Their trials are different, right? So everyone is trialed is according to what they can bear, without doubt.
SubhanAllah. Do you know, for the people that still feel like, oh, this is the hardest test ever, and in that moment, I know we're telling them these things, but in that moment, they don't think of this. In that moment, they get sad and they get hopeless and they start to think of, in a way that it affects their mental health. What can we advise them, or what can we do for them? In a way,
A lot of times when you think it's hard, it's the hardest test ever, or I've been tested with the most hardest way, you will always find someone in a lot more serious situation than you. So if say, for example, someone gets cheated upon, is invested into a business partner has run away, is cheated upon about £50,000, £100,000, whatever the amount is, big lump of money, and they think, so, how am I going to repay this? How am I going to... And I've not been cheated. But then there's also people who have been robbed of millions. We are talking in thousands, but there'll be people in the world who've been robbed of millions. There'll be people in the world who've been robbed from everything. In actual fact, not even been robbed, there are people who have lost everything, right? Someone who was a millionaire, who owned properties, land, earthquakes happened, everything's gone, right? Everything's gone into the ground. Floods have come, wiped everything away. Right, these signs, these things we are seeing happening in front of us. People who possessed everything, You know, for example, sometime a fire takes place, burns everything into ashes. Your whole livelihood, okay, into ashes. Right? So, you know, we still got our property. We will probably still have our home. We still have our children around us. Okay, we've been robbed of £100,000, which is, it's hard. And what will happen? Eventually, person goes through it, pays it off, gets the means. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes some sabr for it. Something or another happens. It's like, you know, you buy a house on mortgage, right? How much is the house? You're paying for it for 25 years. You're paying for it for 30 years. You know, you're still paying for it. Not being, you know, all these years of your life have gone through. So when someone is being robbed of something and he's making that money back or earning that money back, he has to pay someone that amount of money back. He still pays for it. But if he learns to thank Allah, he learns to be grateful. You never know how help comes from the unseen to such people like this.
Abdul Hanan, by our views are still not satisfied because they are struggling and struggling and struggling. And they're comparing their lives to the people. And this comparison is making the pain heavier. What do they do now?
I think sometimes we comparing ourselves to the wrong people as well. Our comparison to such people that, you know, we tend to think, you know, someone thinks they're not earning enough. Their life is, they're not making enough. They've tried so many businesses. I'm just talking about one aspect of our lives. Work, he's invested in one lifestyle, they invested in another. We are probably comparing with those people who have become billionaires, who have got a lot of money, a lot of wealth. We are always thinking of, we're comparing ourselves to them people. And also, sometimes we compare ourselves to them people who have cheated the system, who have earned this wealth unlawfully, right? They've gone to there very easily. Maybe they've covered it, maybe it's been covered up by things. We are comparing ourselves to them. That's not our comparison, right? Or we are comparing ourselves to someone who's, you know, who's highly educated. He's someone who's worked hard his life. He's done so much big things, and we're thinking we want to get to that stage. It doesn't work like this. So who you are comparing yourself with? It's something which one needs to look at. We should be comparing ourselves with the people of virtues, people of good deeds, people of piety, right? Rather than comparing ourselves with the people of the dunya, people with wealth, people with fame, people with people around them, right? We should compare ourselves with those people who had piety, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted. They were accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather than comparing ourselves to the dunya. I think This is where we go wrong. We compare ourselves with the wrong people and we end up trying to achieving that and we will never get there. Mm. And even if we get there, it'll be through wrong means and wrong ways.
So maybe also the fact that we're not getting those things that those people have is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a better plan for us. Or maybe those things that that person has are not good for us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blocks those things from coming to us. But in that moment, that person doesn't have that mindset. And I think, you know, a good way to bring that mindset is what we mentioned earlier, is that you have to compare yourself to people below you, because then you realize that you're already at a good place. So what can we do then to sort of lose this feeling? Okay, one way we already spoke about the fact that you can compare yourself to people below you. Be thankful for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. But then what else can one do?
There's a number of things which one can work towards, alhamdulillah. One is, see, when we want to gain something big, or we want to achieve something and we're not achieving it, right? Reflect on the fact that what we want to achieve, is this the things which are right for us, right? Sometimes we tend to see one picture of things, right? Person is looking at, you know, he wants to settle down here. He wants to have this property. He wants to have this car. He wants to have all this. This is a common person's thought. These are the things I want. He wants to be married. He wants to have children. Going on forward. He wants everything to work, right, basically. So it's not necessarily everything will work, but when Allah plans something better for us, right, for example, person is not having children, for example, and he thinks, oh, I'm not having children, right? And he's stressed over it, the husband is stressed over it, the wife is stressed over it, you're not having children. But not realizing, if they were to have children, maybe that child is born with disability, right? And we've seen people like that. People who have gone, who you know, always wishing to have children, when they've had children, they've child is disabled in many ways. Sometimes it could be blindness, sometimes he can't hear, sometimes he can't walk. Or it could be that a child, you know, you find that sometimes children, something happens to a child at a young age. And from that young age, that child is never able to do anything in life. He loses everything in life. For example, an accident happened, breaks his legs. He's in a deathbed. Now, would you rather have someone, a child of yours, in a deathbed, or not have a child in the place itself? Right? Mm-hmm. It's something to reflect over, and Allah knows what is best for us. We are thinking, okay, I'm not having children, or we've tried everything, it's not working. And what is planned? It could be that child could be a disobedient child. Right? He might show you them colors, which you're thinking he was better off of not having children at all. And you get people saying this. You know, I wish that we didn't have children. Why? Because the way my child is and what the things he's getting up to, it made our lives so miserable, so hard, so tough for us. Not realizing that when Allah plans best for you. So we should learn from this and have sabr over this. Sometimes, I remember, you know, my younger sister, she used to say to me, and it was like I took it in a different way. It was understandable. She goes, if you became educated, if you had big degrees and stuff, you know, you'll be hard to control. Right? You'll be lost somewhere else. It was just her saying this in the form of that how you're meant, how, because you're already, I'm going to start praising myself probably from this. I'm already in a way, and if I gained that type of education or got that type of degree or had that type of backing of wealth, I'll be somewhere else. I probably won't be connected to the deen. And you find with this that a lot of times some poor people, majority of the time, I'm not saying all rich people away from the deen, but majority of the time, who are the people who are connected to the deen? The ones who have little. And you find who are the people who are giving for the deen as well? The ones who have less wealth at times as well. So sometimes we are thinking, I'm poor, don't have this, but it's still you have the iman, you have the deen, you have the ability to act upon and follow the deen, alhamdulillah, this should be enough for us.
So actually being, again, like you said, being thankful for what you have. And I love the life story you gave, that if this had happened, a different path would have taken. And often when we're thinking of things, we forget that if this would have happened, then I wouldn't have been in this place.
If I become a businessman or something big or some, you know, profession field, I wouldn't be sitting on the channel, would I? So sometimes it's like that. Sometimes maybe I won't be able to be doing the work of deen which Allah has given me ability to do now. And I've seen that in life. There was a time when I was involved in a business. When I was involved in business, I wasn't able to give time to my children. I wasn't able to give time to the deen. Yeah, it was a short period of my life which I thought to myself, I go, how long am I going to carry on like this? Right? My children are growing up and I'm not able to give them time. And, you know, I'm not making time out for the deen at all. Because the involvement of the circulation of wealth or the circulation of this system, to cover yourself, to pay your rent, to continue making that money, it just circulates. It keeps you so busy that a person mentally is not there either. And physically is not there because the time is giving towards that business. So a lot of times, you know, these things happen in life with us, that when you're thinking, oh, I wish I had this, I wish I had this, but that wishing might have led you somewhere else.
I think that is a big trap as well, because for example, sometimes I'm a student, but I was also working at the point, and then I realized that when I started working, it did get better. Everything was, so you have a lot more money, so you're able to do a lot more things. But then at the same time, because you're working so much, you're not able to do as much work for the deen. And at that point, you start realizing you have two choices. One, you keep that comfort, but the other choice is you actually keep the comfort of the heart. And I think the comfort of the heart is always the best choice, like you said as well. And I think even now, let's say you might not have everything that you want or your nafs wants, but you don't need that anyway. And doing work for the deen brings you more peace than any of that other stuff would do as well.
You know, it just reminds me of our Sheikh Tariqat Amil Sunni.
Allah.
We were saying on Madani Muzakara about, you know, the people who are giving zakat or charity, they should give a bit extra, right? And the Sheikh went on to say, he said, look, highest people of Allah, they gave everything. They gave it all. That was the extent of extra. They gave everything. You know from the Waqia Siddiqui Akbar radiallahu anhu, bought everything in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was giving everything in the way of Allah. And the Shaykh is also, he highlights and he says, look, don't give everything if you're going to start putting your hands out to beg, right? So here, just for the views of Madhichar, we're not trying to say that, you know, a wealthy person or leave your business or the things which we are talking about, you know, we've left our this and to give time for that. It's not the aspect that we are telling you to leave everything, but we are making your mindset on the fact that if these things are a distraction, then one needs to reflect over it. If too much wealth is a distraction, then one needs to look after it. If one is always involved in business, earning, then he needs to ponder over this, that what am I actually doing? Is this the right thing for me? And Amir Sunnat, you know, how happily he was saying that, you know, we can't give everything, but at least one should try to give a bit extra. The awliya, they give everything. And alhamdulillah, try to have this thought for the views of Madni Channel. It's important that we build this thought in our minds that dunya is not about everything. Dunya is it will perish one day. The fourth Khalifa of the Muslims, Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala, he will say the world is departing and the hereafter is approaching, and both have seekers. Do not become people of the world, but be of those of the hereafter. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, very beautifully saying that the dunya, the world is departing and the hereafter is approaching us, is coming closer to us. And both have seekers. Both are people who want this. There are people who want the dunya, there are people who want the afterlife. And do not become of those who are seeking of the world. Be of those who are seekers of the afterlife. And we are here for a short time in life. We'll be gone. Actual life is the life hereafter. Right? And that is what we need to be working for. That is what we need to be spending our time for.
So, and I think what I've learned, because I've learned things from today's episode as well, is the fact that when we think nothing ever seems to go right, we need to actually just change our perspective, because maybe everything is going right. We're the one who are chasing the wrong thing. We're thinking of the wrong things, but in reality, everything is going right all along. Because, yeah, Allah has that plan, that perfect plan for you already.
You know, so many times this has happened when someone's missed a flight, someone's missed a train, someone's missed a bus, and him thinking, oh, missed it, man. Mm. Missed my flight. And then what happens? That same flight comes down. That same flight, that airplane is destroyed, crashes, that train crashes, that car, those people you are going to visit with. Right? Sometimes, you know, like, I've heard incidents like this, that a few friends are going out together. And then one friend he's been asked to do something from his parents. And he's getting tied up, and he says to his friends, look, I can't go, I've got to do this, no man, I'll let you down, but anyway. The friends go, they go and they end up in an accident, all of them pass away. But this one friend who, because of his parents, because of the call of his mother or his father, have asked him to do something, he's saved from it. Not realizing that how he's saved from that. You know, and this sometimes we think, okay, I've missed out on this, but It's probably a means of protection for something else to come in your way.
So, dear viewers of Madni Channel, you've been watching Overcoming Life, and today's episode, I think it was a really good episode in showing us perspective of life, that often what we actually thinking that we need in life, we might not actually need it. And often us not getting that is for the betterment of ourselves. Jazakallah Abdul Hanan Bhai for those beautiful pearls. Dear viewers of Madni Channel, keep watching Madni Channel and stay tuned for another episode of Overcoming Life. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Overcoming life. Life hits hard yet faith stands strong. Life hits hard yet faith stands strong. With Allah beside us, we move along.